Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Do you want to grab your Bibles? And do you want to turn to Revelation chapter 20? I'm just going to read from the Word this morning, make the odd comment. You know when you read Revelation, does anybody kind of feel like when you're reading Revelation, you're kind of reading Star Wars? It's a bit like, it's a bit out there, it's a bit kind of sci-fi, you know, but yet what we read is reality. It might not be a seen reality in the natural, but it's a spiritual reality that is going on. And when I was just spending time praying about today, what God wanted to say, or in the context of our overall theme this autumn of your kingdom come, what it means to live as kingdom people, living in the light of who he is, and the other things we've been looking at, I just believe God was talking to me and saying, I want us to live with an eternal understanding of what's going on. And some of what we're going to read is where we will be one day, but it relates to the now. Okay, so we're not just going to read about a time to come and we're looking forward to that. We are, but there's a reality to what we're going to read for why God has saved us and why he's brought us into relationship with him, but into his kingdom. Let's have a look at Revelation 20. There's a lot that's gone on already. We're right at the end of the book. A lot has gone on already, which we're not going to go into. And you know, you can try and explain some of it, but there are different theological standpoints along some of this as to when Jesus is actually going to return, what's going to happen on the earth before he returns, or is it happening already? Is it still to come? Will we be here? Will we get raptured? Then there's X amount of time on earth and this, that and the other. Well, we don't want to get into that kind of stuff at the moment because nobody knows. The reason why there are so many theories is because nobody knows. God has not made it clear enough in Revelation so that we all go, we know exactly what's going to happen. The only thing we do know is he's coming back. And one day we will live with him forever in that way. So how he does that, we'll let him unfold that. But we want to look at, we're going to read that from Revelation 20, verse 11. This is John, obviously writing, John, one of the apostles, writing in this revelation that God showed him. Then I saw a great oh, lovely. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence. Wow. Just try and picture what's going on here. I don't know, if you might want to close your eyes just to picture this a little bit. There was a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. So before we read on, just while you're... When it said the books were opened and then another book, the first plural books is all the books that had the names of people written in them that were not written in the book of life, that had never responded to the gospel while they're on earth. And then the book of life is those that had responded to the gospel and surrendered their life to God, and than those people in the book of life. But it says the dead, so all, whether in the book, whichever book people are in, the dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. When I was praying, I just felt God say, he wants us just to read the reality of what is going on at this moment in the spirit, in the heavenlies. That there are books being written. And in those books are everything recorded that we're doing. It's not Big Brother, whatever it is, somebody's keeping it. But which book do you want to be in? The book of life or the other ones? Most of us here are probably in the book of life at this moment. Let's just read on. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. So there is a judgment day coming for every person. The great thing is, when you're born again and you know God, there's nothing to fear. Judgment, there's only something to fear when you're going to be judged if you know there's something not right. If there's something out of kilter. If you know you're innocent and not guilty, and the facts are laid in front of you in a court situation, and they can see by the evidence that's written down that, well, you're not guilty, you're innocent, then there's no fear of judgment, because you know where the judge is going to go, all right, free, you can go. But if you know you're guilty and the evidence is like, well, you never responded or whatever, as we're going to read in a minute, then there's something to fear, because one day every one of us is going to need to stand before God and give an account for our lives. And there's obviously stuff written in books about our lives. The great thing is that when you respond to God, when you give your life to the Lord, your sin is wiped out as far as the east is from the west, and God will never bring it up again. That's amazing, isn't it? Then it says in verse 14, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. And the lake of fire is the second death. There's natural death. Everybody's going to die naturally in some way or other. But then there's also a spiritual one. And that's what John is talking about here. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Now that verse there is probably one of the most unpolitically correct verses in our modern day society. But yet, it's God's word. See, God will never change to fit in with our contemporary ideas and fashions and how anything is going on in any particular generation. We've already said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Many people's perception of God is that he is just a God of judgment. But we know God is more than a judge. We know the very essence and nature of who he is love. And that the first aspect of God's love that people encounter is his mercy. And his mercy is him treating us in a way that we just don't deserve. And that's him demonstrating his love by going to the cross. I'm going to do something on the cross that mankind doesn't deserve, but because I'm a God of love, I'm going to show my mercy, and on the cross, I'm going to pay the price for everything that I should punish mankind for, but because I don't want to punish, I want to forgive, I want to reconcile, I want to heal, I want people to know me and then be with me forever, I'm going to go to the cross and take all of that stuff on myself because my nature is to be merciful. But if God also is a God of justice, there must be judgment on sin. Now, God did exercise his judgment when Jesus went to the cross. At that moment, he was exercising his judgment, saying, I'm going to deal with the power of sin. I'm going to deal with the devil. I'm going to deal with death. I'm going to deal with all this stuff and get victory over it for mankind, so that it's possible for people to be forgiven, to be healed, to be saved, to come into relationship with me. But I need to do some judgment of those things, and I'm going to exercise my judgment on by sending Jesus to the cross and then judging sin, death and hell on the cross there, and opening up the way to make it possible for people to know me. So on the cross, God showed his mercy, but he was also exercising judgment on sin, death and hell. When Jesus hung there and he cried, it is finished, it is done, it's because the victory had been won at that moment. So death couldn't hold Jesus because the victory had already been won. So Jesus was raised from the dead 3 days later. And then obviously we know 40 days, however long late, 40 days, that he went up to be with heaven. The Holy Spirit came on those initial believers. They were empowered by the Holy Spirit to then live out the kingdom life. And now we are generations down the road a little bit, but we have the same Spirit in us, and we're here to take the gospel to the four corners of the earth in the same way that they began however many years ago it was. And we're doing that same thing still. And so, as we've heard before, we go in our lives not to judge or condemn, but to show mercy in the same way that we've been shown mercy, to love in the same way that we are being loved and have been loved, and to be gracious in the same way that God is amazingly gracious to us. Knowing that in what Jesus says in John, I think chapter 12, 10 or 12, where he says that I've not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. But whoever hears my words, one day they will be judged by how they respond to my words. But I've not come to do that judgment. The Father will do that one day. And that's what he's speaking about here, one day. But many people think that God is judging them now. Saying, well, God's a judge, he's angry, he's, you know, I could never turn. And God's like, yeah, I am a God of judgment. And one day you and I and every person alive that ever has lived and is still to live will be judged. We'll face God and we'll have to say what we did with the life that he gave us. But until that day, God is extending incredible mercy still to you and I when we mess up and we need to go, Father, I've messed up again. He goes, I know, but my nature is to be merciful, so I forgive you. It's not God's grace doesn't forgive us. It's God's mercy that forgives us. It's God's grace that enables us to live in him and empowered by him. And so he's still merciful towards you and me every day. He's still lavishing us with his grace every day, because he lavishes us with his grace to enable us to live in his grace, empowered by his grace to be who he's called us to be. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. This is the spiritual reality to your life, my life, every person's life. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Just picture this if you can. I know sometimes when you're looking at somebody, you're kind of looking around and all of that. Sometimes when you listen to the radio and you hear somebody reading something, you picture it more. But just, he said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. So this one that we're on now is going to pass away. And he said, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. You know, God's excited about that day. He is looking forward to this day. Okay, let's just read on. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling place of God is with men, and he will live with them. Are you looking forward to that day? I mean, that is going to be an awesome, awesome day. I don't know. You know, when you start thinking about these things and you try and, I don't know, do you ever sit there and wonder, what's eternity with God going to be like? Do you ever do that? Or am I the only one? Sometimes I sit there and just imagine, I'm spending time with the Lord, I'm like, eternity, you're the God of eternity. What's eternity like? Forever and ever and ever. Do you ever get that moment when you're doing that, where suddenly you get a bit freaked out? Anybody ever had that? And you're like, oh my word, I can't get my head around. I can't, it's like, it's too, you know, forever and ever. Just being with God, him with me, with us. And it's like, you just, suddenly you're like, whoa. And you just, it's like, hang on a minute, let me just think about something else for a moment. But you, because our naturalness cannot comprehend fully God's eternal majesty. Look at these next few verses. These are amazing. Oh, we've got to read the one I've just read again, because that's amazing. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Imagine being so infused with God and him with you. So just you're infused for the whole of eternity. How awesome is that? But then let's read the next. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. God, what would it be like living in that? How many of you are looking forward to that day? Verse 5, he who was seated on the throne then said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Your salvation is not in question. If you know God here today, if you have a relationship with him, if you've surrendered your life to God, your salvation is not in question. For those of you here today that maybe you don't know God, then there is a question to ask in your life about whether you have relationship with God, whether you've ever surrendered your life to God. Because what we're reading here is a reality of God's eternal purposes for us as people. He said, to him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. The river of life, the water of life, the river that flows from his throne. Verse 7, he who overcomes will inherit all of this, and I will be his God and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderous, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Now, sometimes, you know, that can make God sound like, well, blimmin' heck, you know, he's salt, burning sulfur. That's pretty horrible. But you see, God is holy. We're not. As humans, we're not. But God doesn't want to send anybody or put anybody in a lake of sulfur. That's not his heart. That is not his intention. It's funny, I don't know about you guys, but I've had conversations with people over the years. Why does God send people to hell? Why does he send people? And I've said to people, God doesn't want to send anybody to those that place. And actually, it's you and I that determine the decision that God is going to make. God's not going to stand there and go, which way? Shall I, shan't I? Shall I? Do I like you? Do I don't? No, well, I'll send you that way. I'll send you this way. It's not going to be like that. It's a decision that we make on earth that determines the decision that God is going to make on that day. So the ball is in your court. So it's not God's fault if somebody who never responds to him, never gives their life to him, ends up in this burning lake of sulfur. Now, I was really like, God, do you really want us to read these verses this morning? Do you really want us to go through this stuff? But this is the Bible. But in it, I believe God wants to, he wants to show us and how we then, his heart for people. But God has to deal with everything that is not holy. And when he wraps things up, whether that's sooner or later, whenever that is, when he wraps things up and Jesus comes back, and there is that day where every person is going to have to stand before God and give an account for their lives. That day is a reality, and that day these things will happen. But God does not want to send anybody or say to anybody, sorry, mate, you never responded to me. Because he has to deal with everything that is not holy. Verse 9, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, come and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. One day you're going to be living there. So we're just reading about where you're going to be moving to, all right? If you know God, this is going to be awesome. It shone with the glory of God. Its brilliance was like that of very precious jewels, like jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates to the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So you got the 12 tribes of Israel and you got the 12 apostles, and that generally that's saying it's linking God's Old Testament people with God's New Testament people, and it's linking the two together in terms of the old and the new coming together as one in him. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod, and then it talks about, it kind of reads and describes this thing. There's 12 different precious stones that are the foundations and the various things. We haven't got time to go through all of that this morning. But then verse 22, I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light and the Lamb is its lamp. Wow. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there, and the glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. For most of us in the room, our names are written in that Lamb's Book of Life. The danger is that we go, cool, great, job done. But there are a lot more people that you and I know that their names are not written in that book at this moment. And the reality of life, because the spiritual life is just as real as the natural one. Even though we don't see it, often we might not perceive it, but it's real. And I just believe God wants us in terms of his kingdom purposes. Because we might be sitting here today thinking, hang on, I thought we were looking at your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, like now. What does that mean for us now? Well, what we've just read is right now. Heaven is a real place. The new heaven and the new earth will be a real place. And God's heart is that no one would end up in the books that are not the Lamb's Book of Life or the Book of Life. And I just believe God wants to just open our eyes and our hearts to the reality of how he sees what's going on. God doesn't just see lots of natural people. When he looks at your life and my life, he looks at people. What he sees is the spiritual, first of all. And whether somebody is alive to him or whether they are not alive to him. That's how he sees our lives, first and foremost. He sees the light in us, which is him, or there is no light in somebody if they don't know who God is. I believe God wants to, not just this morning, but over these weeks, is not just prod us. Just remember these things and remind us so that we know a bit more, you know, but actually cause a little bit of desperation in our hearts and our lives for people that could be family members, friends, relatives, that don't yet know who God is. There might be resistance. Might not be easy. They might not want to know. But that doesn't mean we're going to give up on them. In terms of praying, holding on to what God has said to us about them, about their lives. God wants to write their names in the book of life. He wants them to be part of this new city that's coming down from God, where they will be with him forever. No crying, no tears, no mourning, no pain. That's his heart for people. That's what happened on the cross. That doesn't mean, even as Christians, when we live our lives, there's no challenges. Sometimes there can be challenge and things happen and all of that. But the amazing thing with God is no matter what happens in the natural, the challenges there are, things that happen in life and things that go on. The amazing thing is, in God, you never then have to live with that pain. You never then have to live in that sorrow. You never then have to live with those tears. There might be a moment of sorrow. There might be a moment of mourning. There might be a moment of tears. But those things in God never then take control and then run our lives. But there is a day when we'll be completely free of all that kind of thing. But God wants to set people free from those things today. People that don't know him. Let's stand, shall we? I know it's been a little bit different, a bit somber maybe, but it's the reality of eternity. And often we get caught up in the temporal. But there is a spiritual reality, eternal reality to life. And many of us have already responded to that eternal reality of who God is and what he's done. And we're in relationship with him. There are other verses we could look at in terms of God's plans and purposes for our lives, things he wants us to be doing, all those kind of things, which then are all recorded in this book of life, all the things we've done. Just invite the Holy Spirit this morning. Just, Father, would you just open up the eyes of my heart in a fresh way? The reality of what's going on spiritually. All the stuff going on across it, you hear in the news, it's a fight for mankind. It's not a fight about religions. It's light and dark. It's not about religion. Is it a religion that wants to take over and all of that? Anything that steals, kills and destroys is darkness. And it's against God and his purposes. However it is manifested, whatever it looks like, whether it's manifested in a religion, in a philosophy, in whatever. So we're not here coming against religions. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities, powers, things of this dark world. It's spiritual. Yes, it wraps itself up in other religions and other things and all of that kind of stuff in terms of the darkness. But we're not here to perpetuate fear and talk about things. Oh, this is going to happen. That's going to happen. Oh, they're going to take over. They're going to do this. No, God's in charge. And we need to live with an eternal reality and perception in the now of our lives and what that means. We don't live in fear of what is on the news. We don't live according to circumstances. We live according to what God's word is. We act according to what his word says. Father, I thank you that you have made us spiritual people. Father, would you open the eyes of our hearts so we see the spiritual reality in people's lives around us, that we can't ignore it, walk past it, and just leave it. But you would just burn in our hearts, Father, the need, the necessity, the must of people needing to know you. I come out of darkness and into light. Father, would you just work in every one of our hearts and lives in these days? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. There might be people here today and you don't know the Lord. And you might, in the context of what we've been saying this morning, say, well, my name's probably not written in that book of life you've been talking about. And you've heard the way we've been talking about who God is, that he's merciful. Because his nature is love, and love gives. And the first part of his love is mercy that you encounter. He treats us in a way we don't deserve. God is holy, and we're not. But the amazing thing is when you respond to God and surrender your life to him, say, God, I need you to forgive me for the stuff that I've done. The amazing thing is God comes and forgives. He cleans up. He treats us in a way we don't deserve. And then the amazing thing that then happens is he then says, I want to come and live in you. I want to be in you. God of the universe, the creator, wants to be in our lives. If any person here this morning, that's where you're at today. I don't know God. I don't have a relationship with him. You can respond to him and he will respond to you. And at that moment is surrender. God, I surrender my life to you. And that first point of surrender is saying, God, I need to be forgiven. The second point of surrender is, God, I want you to come and be Lord of my life. And come and live in me and I give you my life. Maybe some people here today, you've not been walking with God. You have in the past, and maybe you come with a friend today. You thought, for some reason, whatever, I'm going to go to that church today, and you're here. And you're like, God, I want to get things sorted with you. I want to get back right with you. Just simply talk to him wherever you are this morning. Just tell him, God, I'm here. I want to know you. I want to be right with you. I want to know your forgiveness. I want to know you. If that is your heart this morning, where you're saying, God, I need to be forgiven, but more than that, I want to know you. I want to give my life to you, because that's the real question. Do you want to surrender your life to him? Do you want to know him? Father, I thank you for people here this morning who are responding to you. Thank you that you just work in their hearts right now. Father, I just pray as we meet with them afterwards, pray together that you would move into their lives in a transforming way, life-changing way. Father, anybody who's responding, you're giving their lives back to you. Father, would you just impact them powerfully right now? They would know your forgiveness, your restoration. And Father, I thank you right now that as we go into the rest of the day and into our lives this week and everything that is going to be happening, Father, I thank you that our spiritual eyes will be wide open this week as to friends and family, work colleagues, people around us that don't know you, the people at this moment that you've put on our hearts to be praying for and reaching out to. We can't reach everybody all at one moment, but there'll be people that God puts in your heart at this time, in these days, these weeks at the moment, this family member, that friend, that work colleague, the people, your neighbor, whoever it is, that household, those that God is saying, pray for them, reach out to them, love them, bless them, show them who I am. There'll be people, there's people in all of our lives where God is doing that. If you think, well, I don't have anybody, then just ask him, God, would you show me who? Because we all know people that are not saved. So, Father, I thank you that you would lead us this week by your Spirit. You would lead us into other people's lives. Thank you for the words that we need to have at times, the words of life, words of wisdom, words of insight, words of knowledge, understanding, revelation, discernment, whatever we need. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are in us to lead us and guide us so that no person misses this week what you want to do in and through their lives, through us. Father, I thank you. I praise your name. That it's better to give than to receive. And as we give and sow into other people's lives, you multiply back into ours everything else we need. But Father, I thank you that we go in your name. We go with your hand upon our lives and we go with the anointing of your Holy Spirit to take the eternal reality of who you are out there into people's lives so that their lives, their names can be written in the book of life so that they might come to know you this week. Father, we praise your awesome name. Amen. 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 Let's just thank the Lord, shall we? Just praise him. Thank him. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.